of God in Jesus Christ. You see, in Christ Jesus, if you did not know this, but in Christ Jesus, you and I, if you can use the words, the term orphaned, you may understand what this means, but you and I were alienated from God. We were in hostility with God, and we were separated from God. But what Christ in His death and resurrection does for us is that in that process, He brings us into God's family via adoption. Now, that will become clearer as we listen to the passage in Ephesians. You see, what happens through this adoption is that God the Father becomes our loving Heavenly Father in heaven. And you know, this all took place not during history, but long before history even began. This took place in the will and in the plan of God. He predestined that we would be reconciled to Him through Jesus Christ. You know, I was reading through the Gospel of John, and I came across it in John chapter 1, where we are told that for those of us who God has brought into believing in the Gospel of Jesus Christ, God has given us, listen to this, God has given us the right to become children of God. He has given us the right. So this is not just for everyone. He has given us the right to become children of God. If you've got your Bibles with you, won't you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1? And I'll be looking especially from verse 4. But we're not going to stick to a particular passage. We're going to be moving from passage to passage. But Ephesians chapter 1 is the one I'd like for us to look at now. And pay very, very careful attention to the words in Ephesians chapter 1, especially in regards to God choosing us, God predestining us to be a part of His family and that whole adoption process through Christ. Listen to what God says here from verse 4 of chapter 1. For He chose us in Him, that's speaking about Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, and to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. But now I want you to listen very carefully to the next few words. Verse 11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, and here He's speaking about the apostles, the disciples, the early Christians, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also, now He's speaking to all the Christians who have come to believe, verse 13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Wow. All of that just for me? Come on, think about that. All of that just for you? Do you know what that means? Do you understand what God has done for you and for me? If you're a Christian, let's pray. Our Father, this evening, there's so much excitement in the air and around the world. There are some countries that have already gone into what is considered the new year. And Father, as we move into that, we pray that as we hear Your word now, we who are Your children may rightly assess and reevaluate who we are and what that means in this world. I pray that you will help us to understand your message to us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, as we approach the new year, as we leave 2012 behind, I'm sure some of us can't wait to leave 2012 behind, so we've set our watches advance. Don't worry, we'll tell you when it's really time. But what I want to do right now in the few minutes that we have is to share with you some encouraging scriptures. These are scriptures, friends, that have really been helpful to me, and I want to share that with you with the hope that it will encourage you and help you in the year to come and in many, many more years to come. The first one is found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You'll see the point coming up on the screen right now. And the point that is being made here and that I'd like you to leave with from this first point is that our good and God's glory. Keep that in mind as I read this verse. Listen to it. It says there, and we know, friends, I hope you know this, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, we've just heard about being called according to the purposes of God and what that means and how that looked from Ephesians, but listen to what God is saying. And I want to leave us with four important truths just from that verse, okay? So try to remember something from these four important truths. The first thing which we get from that verse, and please excuse the order in which I'm calling this out, but the first thing I want to draw attention to is that Christians are in the purpose of God. There is no accident in God's world. In God's perfect plan, there are no accidents. It may seem like there is an accident, but listen, God is completely in control of all things. And so even when we look at the life and the work of Jesus Christ, which has reconciled sinners with God, being us, and that will reconcile many other sinners in this world to God, remember that it wasn't by accident, nor was it by your own choice. This is happening according to the purpose of God. Okay? So Christians are in the purpose of God. And we're going to see what that looks like just now. Secondly, what I get from that is that God is intentional and God acts deliberately in His dealing with the world. And again, pulling on from that idea of the purpose of God and that there are no accidents, then know that in this working of God, where all things God works, know that He is being very intentional and He's being very deliberate. Now, I want you to think back at your life in 2012. You may have gone through some things in your life personally. We may have gone through things nationally or as a church or even internationally. Remember, friends, that God in all of these things was being very deliberate in allowing things to happen or in reorchestrating things so that His ultimate will shall prevail. Thirdly, from that verse, understand that the called, those who are called or those who are chosen, those who have been adopted into God's family, are in this wonderful reconciled relationship with God. That's what you are in. We're no longer fighting with God or against God, though our life may seem like that. But the reality is that we are in a love relationship with God and a relationship that is reconciled because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. And fourthly, it is all for our good, we are told. Whatever God is working out, though you may see it or though you may not see it that way, whatever God is working out is for your good and it's for my good. Now, I may fail to see it, I may not want to agree with that, but that is the truth of the matter. Not only is it for our good, but when we think of it in ultimate terms, it is for God's glory. And so, friends, even though from an incident which does not look as if it is for your good or my good, up until the time we die, even though we may not come to see how it is for our good, understand that even that incident is for God's glory. That is what matters. So from this moment onwards, we are told in Romans that this is something we should know. And basically what it is saying, that we need to know that ultimately everything is going to result for the glory of God. And that He's working out these things according to His purpose. So as a Christian, I should not get disappointed when things are not going my way. So as a Christian, I should not get disappointed when I'm coming up against life's hurdles. As a Christian, I should not be disappointed or discouraged when I seem to be hitting a brick wall. Or as a Christian, I should not be distracted by life's attractions, which we have so much of. And so even when things in my life, or in your life, or around us, may appear as if there is no God, as if no one or nothing is in control, well, we know, don't we, that everything, that all things are for the glory of God, and that there is nothing better than that. Now friends, Indon was asking about testimonies earlier. I want to share one with you very quickly, if you would give me a few moments just to do that. On the night that Kirsten, our little baby girl there, a few years ago when she was born, it was a wonderful day. I remember being at the hospital and Sarah needed some supplies. And so I was rushing back home, and on the way home, this was still in Johannesburg, on the way home we passed Helen Joseph Hospital. It was only a few streets away from our house, and in that hospital, my father was there, and I thought, well, maybe I should stop by and I should tell him, you know, Dad, we were in hospital today, and Sarah gave birth, and it's a girl, and this is what we've named her, etc., 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 all of that excitement. But you know, while I was thinking these thoughts, driving the car, we came to this intersection, there were some roadworks, so we couldn't really see what's going on. As I'm taking off, this car just came speeding by, and I hit my brakes. I don't know what went through this guy's head, but he went spinning off down the road. I didn't want to follow him and see what happened, so I just carried on because we had something more urgent. And I thought, you know, all of these thoughts about going and stopping over and saying to my dad, look, Dad, I'm a father now. All of those thoughts vanished, and I just said, let me go home, get the stuff, get back to the hospital. Well, what I'll do is, I'll go back tomorrow, as usual, as I always did. I'll go back tomorrow and I'll say, you know, Dad, this is the news. I'll surprise him in the morning, as I usually go and visit him. And so there was much anticipation, there was much hope that I was going to see my father as usual the next morning. But I tell you, friends, after going back to the hospital, giving Sarah what she needed and all of that, and we got back home, about 8 hours later, while it was still dark in the morning, the phone rang, woke me from my sleep, and I thought, oh, is something wrong with the baby? Sarah okay? And all that. And on the other side of the phone, there was this soft, sympathetic voice which told me the news that my father had just died. And I tell you, this shook my world. And it changed my life. You see, that bittersweet day of hearing the news of our baby's birth and the news that my father just died, friends, it put the reality of life and death into perspective for me. I don't know if you've ever been through that. I don't wish it on anyone. But I tell you, God had brought me through that process. And through that, He has taught me so much. Through that, He has taught me that His ways are greater than mine. You see, that night, friends, I thought that I was going to surprise my father the next morning. That night I thought that I had the next day to do just as I wanted. I thought that I was going to do whatever it was that I had planned to do. I thought that the next day belonged to me because, I mean, every day I just did whatever I pleased. And despite being theologically aware that God is sovereign, that He rules, that He's in control, that He's in charge of everything, I took it for granted as we do every day. And before I woke up the next day, God surprised me. Now, I've been asked the questions, you know, you talk about this, but what about planning? What about being prepared? What about being proactive? What about me having a choice in what I do in my life? Or am I just a robot that God is controlling? I tell you, I learned the hard way that those privileges of planning and preparing and organizing and being proactive and all these things are still our responsibility as human beings. As people who will be accountable to God. Go and read towards the end of Romans. Chapter 20. We will be accountable to God for every waking moment, for every second of our life, for every choice, every decision, for everything that we do, think and say. But however, I must say this as well, that because God is sovereign, because He is God, friends, He is entitled to overrule any of my decisions. Because His will prevails. He has the bigger picture. He has the eternal view. And most importantly, I've come to understand that He has the final say. He knows how things are meant to work out so that they work out for the good. Now I tell you, for a long time, I've been wrestling with it. I've been struggling. Well, how is the death of my father working out for my good? But God has brought me to find peace in that. And to know that ultimately, whatever happens is not only for my good or for the good of those around me, but it is for His glory. Even when we can't see it at the time. And friends, I tell you, our attitude must always be like that prayerful, that humble, that submissive attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ when He prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." Our good, but God's glory. I want to move on from Romans chapter 8. I do hope you go and read that and get the encouragement from that. But I want to move on to the past and tomorrow. What do we do? You know, we're moving on from 2012. We're moving into 2013. Well, if we can very quickly just say one more thing there about what happened in that year. A few days later at my father's funeral, I had the honor to speak. And I found myself telling the story that is found in the Bible, a story that Jesus told. You may have heard this one before, a story about a rich man who had planned the future. You see, he was a farmer and he came across this bumper crop. He came across, you know, he had so much of crop that year. The harvest was so good, but he didn't have enough space to store it. So he said to himself, "I'm going to build bigger barns." And he had planned this wonderful life for himself. And because he was a self-made man, he was a self-centered man, because his world revolved around himself, his plans excluded God. And that sounds very familiar to most of us, I'm sure. Because every decision that we make, we do not make every decision with God in mind, do we? But we must. You see, what he did not know, as Jesus said, what he did not know is that he would not even get to see another day. And you know what God calls him? God calls him a fool. Now there's a passage that was read for us in James chapter 4. I'm not going to go too much into that now. But in his letter in James, he speaks about the hardship and the perseverance that we'll have to go through as Christians. But in chapter 4, he also speaks about those who go on planning and boasting about their life and the future and their plans without considering God. He warns us against that sort of living. On Sunday, I was down in Scottsboro preaching at another church there, and I got to speak to a wonderful old man. He's 86 years old. And he said, you know, it's not that we forget things, it's just we don't remember things. And I said, well, you're excused, you're 86. But even if you're 86 years old, you know, in James chapter 4, God calls your life, even of that amount of time, He calls it a mist. Now, I also spoke about the Job story and how wonderful that is. How through the testing of Job's life, he lost his family, he lost all of his material goods, he lost his dignity, he lost the respect of his friends, of his wife, he even lost his health. But even through all of these testings, he still remained faithful, friends. He still trusted in God. And he still trusted that God was in control and that God had something better planned, even though he couldn't see it at the time. You see, what Job understood and what Job expresses in chapter 1 and 2 of Job is that we were born with nothing and that we die holding on to nothing. And I saw Job's point firsthand that night. You see, when I was there watching Kirsten being born, I was taking photos and little video clips. I saw her coming out with nothing except for some yucky stuff. It wasn't very pleasant. I don't want to put you guys off now. But she was born with nothing. Hours later, I was in the mortuary looking at the corpse of my father's body. And there he was with nothing. And so, friends, as we plan and look to the new year, let's understand that as we get into another day, as we so often take life for granted, let's understand that every second that God gives us to live, He has a purpose for us, and that it is for His glory. And if He alters your plans, please don't get upset with Him. Understand that your plan fell outside of His will. And He's going to do something better. And so in all that we do, whether it's in our planning or going through life, let us pray and let us do it for the glory of God. Because God's glory is our life's ultimate purpose. And so as we come to the end of the year, let's assess our lives. Let's reflect. Let us evaluate. And let us do what is most necessary. If you have made a New Year's resolution, I encourage you to think back at the psalm that was read for us. In verse 8 of that psalm, the psalmist David, well, we know the psalm is speaking about Jesus, but the psalmist David said, I have set the Lord always before me. You know what his focus in life was? It was the Lord. That was his goal. That is what he was concentrating on. And I encourage you that if you are struggling to find a New Year's resolution, or if you need to make one, then why don't you do that? And say that I'm going to set the Lord always before me as I live my life. Well, let me close with these few words from Romans chapter 8. From verse 31 onwards. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, please go through the year with this, friends, and understand this, that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. And who is He that condemns? Well, Christ Jesus, who died. And more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. And listen to this. And is also interceding for us. Wow. Right now, Christ is interceding for you and for me. And I close with this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Nothing, friends, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege, the awesome privilege of being called into your family, being adopted as your children, and so undeservedly that we come to appreciate your grace. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to remember these scriptures and to remain steadfast in our faith for your glory. Amen.
Thanks, John, for reminding us of the awesomeness of knowing God and glorifying God.